Amen. Praise the Lord for the special this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. Trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place. We do pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and when we do assemble ourselves together, we can sense His presence, and we can be ready and able to open up and receive what God has for us through the services that we have here at the Lighthouse. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, just two verses this morning, very familiar verses, but I don't know that we fully understand verse 16, and we'll be focusing on verse 16 here this morning. But if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. As Paul is writing to Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and God has preserved it for all Christianity for this New Testament church time. And so here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, thank you, Lord God, first of all, for your presence in this place. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available for all that are here that have taken advantage of it to be in church today. And then I pray, Father, for the preaching of thy word as we open up the very scriptures that you have preserved for us, and as we preach the word that is here in a way that would help our people to better understand, we are dependent upon you to reveal it to us. And I just pray, God, that you would just use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So as Paul is writing to young Timothy, and again we find that Paul was writing the very scriptures that God would preserve for this New Testament church age and the completion of the New Testament, we find that he reveals much about how important the New Testament church is. And he had already given us in chapter 3 the qualifications for the two positions, the biblical qualifications for the position of a pastor and the position of a deacon. And then he says about the church, he says that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. First of all, it is the house of the family of God, which is the church of the living God. It's his church. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you lose sight of the church, you'll lose sight of the pillar and the ground of truth. And hard telling where that'll take you. The only truth that we have is God's truths. And God's truths is what we have need of. And he says the church is where you're going to find the most important truths of all. And that's in the church. And then he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. That's what we're looking at this morning. The mystery of God, or a mystery is a hidden truth. And so great, understanding how important it is the hidden truth of God in this world. That's what Paul is presenting to Timothy. That's what God has preserved here for us. As Paul writes, he said, it's without controversy or no doubt about it. It is great, or the most important thing to understand, the mystery, which was a mystery in the Old Testament, although the prophets prophesied of every one of these revelations. But it was somewhat a mystery, even though they was prophesying, they didn't fully understand it. And yet we find in this New Testament scriptures, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he made very clear what used to be a mystery that is no doubt no longer a mystery to those who believe in Jesus Christ, to those that look to him and look to the Word of God that he has preserved for us. It reveals to us what used to be a mystery. And their hidden truths are the mystery of God in this world. Mysteries made clear. First of all, he says, and there's six of them right here, and we'll go rather quickly through them, so put on your thinking caps, amen, and be ready to shout and rejoice over what God might reveal to you through this morning, because it might be a mystery to you even sitting in this congregation this morning. You haven't fully understood what these things are all about. And I trust that we can understand these because as we look to Christ, we look to the Scriptures, they're no longer a mystery. And there is the most important thing. It's without controversy. It is one of the most important things for us to learn in this world. Amen. Now, the church is where you're going to learn it because the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Amen. And you're in His church this morning, and you're under the preaching of the Word of God, so God wants you to understand these mysteries. He wants to help you with these things. And the very first thing, and especially coming up around this time and of Christmas, and people are more aware of the Christmas holiday, it's more than just a holiday to born-again believers. We know it marks the day in which Christ was born. And even the cantata tonight is going to try to emphasize the importance of God being born in man's form. Here we find the Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. Now, prophesied in the Old Testament, we can go back and look at a lot of Old Testament scriptures, but they didn't fully understand it. The Jews did not fully understand it. Even it was their religion. It was their faith. And in the New Testament, when Jesus came, they didn't fully understand that He was going to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. They thought the Messiah would come and He would lead Israel to national prominence once again to be able to rule the world. And that will take place in the millennial reign of Christ. But it was a mystery to them. They didn't fully understand it, but Jesus Christ revealed it to them as He came. And so this God was manifested in the flesh. God, yes, the one who created all things. He created everything physical that we're able to see. He created the heavens and the earth. It's a physical creation. It's a physical kingdom, if you will. It's a human kingdom. But the human kingdom was created by a spiritual God. Don't get confused here. God is not physical. God is spirit. The Bible says over in the book of John in chapter 4, let me just read it to you. But John chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, "But the hour cometh," Jesus is speaking to the woman of the well. He says, "The hour cometh and now is that when true worshipers," that means if there are true worshipers, there's people that are false worshiping God. They don't understand what they're doing. "But true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him," understanding that He is spirit and understanding what His truths are. Then it says this, God is a, capital S, spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the one who is a spirit and also a Trinity, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, and these three are one. Three in one is a Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. This is the Trinity of God. And all of them are spirit. It was a spirit of God, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that was there in the beginning of creating the physical kingdom. Created humanity, if you will. Created the heavens and the earth. Everything that we understand and we can see with our physical eyes, this physical kingdom created by God, and the only time ever He's manifested in the flesh. The only time ever that a spiritual being was made physical was some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. See, Satan is not physical. Satan is not a man. Satan was not spiritual becoming physical. No, he was cast out of heaven and he came to this physical kingdom, but he is still an evil spirit. That's Satan himself. And there is no such thing as God's, small letter G, God's becoming humanity. Now you get into Greek mythology and all the different things, and they think that there has been a God that has had relations with physical man, and now that you're a God yourself, and on and on and on, and you go back into all, but that's all myth. That is not reality. It's imaginary gods led by Satan's influence. Because if Satan can blind humanity to the truth of only one God becoming man, none other, if he can blind humanity and start trying to get man to think about multiple gods, he will take his focus off of the only real, true Creator God. And we're in a world today that many are still blinded by this mystery made clear that one God became man. And not only an imaginary God, the Creator God. The one that's didn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. Who is eternal, sovereign. We could go on and on about the attributes of this God. God Almighty, but the Creator God, the one that created this physical kingdom, is now being made a man. I'll tell you what, when you understand that, you'll have a greater appreciation for the birth of Jesus Christ. You'll just not look at, oh, say, how cute that is, a babe in a manger. You won't look at that and think, well, it's just a holiday. It's just a man-made holiday. They just put it on the calendar. No, it is a day that helps us to remind us that God Almighty became a man. Don't lose sight of this. Don't lose sight of this event of history that is greater than any other event. Amen. Which was a mystery, but no longer a mystery. God is the only virgin-born human being. Outside of creation, there's no other man or woman that ever has been virgin born. It's only happened once. In all eternity, it only happened once. Wow. John chapter 1 and verse 14, let me just read to you. John chapter 1, of course, it talks about in the beginning it was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, and the Word, Jesus Christ, is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And He was full of grace, and there is no other truth than the truth that He revealed. Full of grace and truth. God lived the life of a man. He left the confines of the spiritual kingdom of heaven. It's not up beyond the stars, it's a different dimension. Sometimes our minds get all caught up and say, well, how far up and through the heavens and through the space does it have to? No, it's a different dimension. Can I tell you that God's presence is all around us? It's a different dimension. It's a spiritual dimension. And the only time in all eternity a spiritual being, and this is a Creator God, is made man. Whew. I guarantee you, when that sinks in and you have faith to believe that, no longer a mystery and God's revealed it to you, it's something to shout about. Something to get excited about. Our God loved us enough to come and put Himself in the weakness of a physical body. Because it was the only way that humanity could be made right with God. Yeah. It's a mystery in the Old Testament and still a mystery to those that are lost. There's still many that are blinded, that do not believe in the virgin-born Son of God. They do not believe that a creator God became man, and they're blinded to it. But great, or most important, without controversy to those who believe, there's no doubt about it, God was manifested in the flesh, amen, in the form of Jesus Christ. What a great thing to have that mystery clarified. We have it clarified. Not only was the mystery, one of these mysteries was God manifested in the flesh, which brings us to the birth of Jesus Christ, but also the Bible says in Christ and through him, justified in the Spirit. It's a mystery to the Old Testament understanding what he's talking about here. Justified in the Spirit, what that means is in the flesh, he was rejected of man. In the flesh, he was mocked. In the flesh, he was crucified. Wow. But as God, being a spirit, he was vindicated. That's what that being justified means. He was vindicated in the spirit. What do you mean? Well, he proved to be God by living a sinless life. By committing no sin, even though the temptations would have been there in a physical body, the devil would have unleashed every temptation that he could upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that the Bible talks about a little bit of the temptation of Christ by the devil. Amen? He would have continued to tempt him all through his 33 years that he was a man. To have one bad thought, to have one evil thought, to turn away from God just for one moment. And the only sinless man ever to walk on planet Earth was a mystery, but made clear in the Spirit, because he was God. He was able. Not only was he justified in the Spirit or vindicated by revealing himself to be the true God by living a sinless life, in the work that he accomplished while he was on earth, he would tell Philip, believe me just because of the works. Who else could raise the dead to life? An impossibility for any man to be able to raise the dead back to life, but he was vindicated or justified in the Spirit, because it was proof that he was God, because only God could raise the dead. Only God could heal the sick as he healed the sick. Only God could do the things that he did as a man. Justified in that he was God in accomplishing what he accomplished in the works. And then one of the greatest of all, justified in the Spirit after he was crucified, he physically died and was placed in a tomb. But the tomb couldn't hold him. Amen. Think about that. Yeah, in the flesh, he was crucified. In the flesh, he died. As all men, it's appointed a man wants to die. But he revealed that he was more than just a man. He was God. And the Spirit of God, he raised from the dead on the third day. Vindicated. Justified. He was God. Yeah. Mystery to a lot of people. Don't believe that anyone could come back from the dead. If he wasn't God, he couldn't have. So it's no longer a mystery. We know him to be God. The Bible says the third was seen of angels. scene of angels. Are angels real? Is there such a thing? It's a mystery to a lot of people. A lot of people deny that there is no spiritual kingdom. There's no angels. All we have is what you see. And when your life is over, it's over. There's no spiritual kingdom. Mystery. But the Bible says he was seen of angels. Not only seen or accompanied by angels, but angels were seen and heard by men. Peter, being one of them, witnessed the angels coming and ministering to Christ at the Transfiguration. Others would hear a voice from heaven at the baptism of Jesus Christ. The mystery, is there a spiritual kingdom? Is there angels? Do they even exist? Not only was he accompanied by angels, but angels were heard by man to validate their existence. It's no longer a mystery to those of us that are saved and believe the Bible. They exist. Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1. This is what the Bible says about them. Hebrews in chapter 1. I love it. You have a mystery or a hidden truth that you haven't understood or don't believe in? Are angels real? You know what Christ did? He revealed them to us. No longer a mystery to those who believe in him. Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 13. But to the which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This is God speaking to the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits? Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Do you know that I believe that every born-again believer has a guardian angel? You can't see them. They're a different dimension, but that does not mean that they do not exist. They do exist. If we had that vision, that we could see into the spiritual kingdom, you would see that there is a lot of demonic activity and a lot of spiritual activity taking place all during our lives, because they're real. How do you know they're real? Well, it might have been a mystery and still might be a mystery to you, but Jesus Christ cleared it up for us. No longer a ministry. Not only did he reveal that there was angels with him on a regular basis, but we heard them speak. And now we understand what the Bible says about ministering spirits. Praise the Lord for that. You know, that can be a comfort. Just having that understanding. Yeah, I know we have the understanding that Christ is in us and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But for some reason, just realizing there's more. There's angels. Praise God for his ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Those who have received Jesus Christ are part of your existence. Amen. The fourth one is, says he was preached unto the Gentiles. That's still a mystery to a lot of people. How could a Jewish faith based on the nation of Israel, Jewish faith, Old Testament, how could a Jewish faith be turned over to the Gentile nation? Mystery. How in the world, if that is possible, how did that happen? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Everybody following with me this morning? Amen. It's great stuff, I'll tell you. Once you understand this, it's a blessing to have this mystery revealed, and it's revealed through Jesus Christ. We have this understanding, and you hear this truth in the church. The church is here to preach the word of God, the very words of God that he has revealed to us. Book of Romans, chapter 1. How could a Jewish faith be turned over to the Gentiles? Can I tell you that God has always loved the world? It was not just Israel. Even the Abrahamic covenant, he would promise to Abraham that you would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. But basically, Christianity would have been a Jewish, from a birth in a Jewish faith in the Old Testament Israel. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul was the one that God called to reach the Gentiles. He says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. God's called me to reach them. As God's given me this, I'm indebted to them. To the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready. I am ready to preach. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. How could a Jewish faith be turned over to the Gentiles? And it is revealed to us through the preaching of the Word of God. Simple as that. Some 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist, a forerunner of Jesus Christ, came preaching repentance. Jesus Christ came preaching repentance. Every one of the apostles preached the very words of Christ. Jesus established his church, and as his church, and he's placed in the church pastors, and in the pastors, he gives this charge. Preach the word. Because that's how people are saved today. That's how, if you look back to Pentecost, when Peter stood before the nations of the world gathered in Jerusalem, all the nations, the Bible says, are represented there. And Peter stood and preached. Amen. And through the foolishness of preaching, God has taken it to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, which is anyone other than Jew, have received this faith through preaching. That's why you shouldn't be going to a church if they don't have preaching. It's not a true church if they don't have preaching. It's not a true church if they don't preach the word. You don't need to preach philosophies. You don't need to preach politics. You don't need to stand up there and amuse the congregation. You should not want to go to church just to be amused. You ought to want to go to church to learn more about the truths of God's word. And you're going to learn the truths of God's word. And the mysteries are going to be made clear to you through the preaching of the Bible. That's how America became great. It's through her churches preaching the word. Yeah. He was preaching to the Gentiles. It's a mystery. How could anybody sit underneath the preaching? How can preaching make a difference at all? Well, it's a mystery to you, isn't it? Look to Christ, and it'll be cleared up. It's great. One of the most important things for you to understand, this mystery of being preaching to the Gentiles. Number five is believed on in the world. I mean, the whole world would have an opportunity, and some around the world would believe the very same faith. Surely that's not a Christian nation, that's a Muslim nation, and surely that's a Buddhist nation. That is whatever you might, and let them have their religion. No, that's not the plan of God. The plan of God is one faith for all humanity. Because in reality, there's only one God. There's only one true God, and He's Spirit. But as a Spirit, He became a man to reveal it to the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, before He would ascend up to heaven, He gave the church this charge. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. There's no greater power than me. Because He was God. And He says, go ye. Every born again believer has this commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He's believed on in the world. Because it was a great commission to go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them, preaching to them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He believed on in the world. In my years of ministry, I've been privileged, blessed to be able to go to different countries around the world. Was in Russia for 2 weeks, and we've seen revival. I stood before a statue of the father of communism in Russia. A big statue in his hometown, his home city. Had a big, I stood in front of that statue and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've seen many of them come forward and receive Jesus Christ. I've been in Bolivia, in the jungles of Bolivia, traveling all the way back to the jungles in Bolivia, and preached Christ and seen those villagers come and receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. What I'm going to say, it's a mystery. How in the world could the people around the world have one faith? That can't be it. They have to have their own faith and let them believe what they want to believe. That is not the truth. God, because He is the only God, and He came in the flesh, and He's given to us this understanding of this mystery, one faith, one plan of salvation for all. And the whole world will have an opportunity to believe. Yeah. And then lastly, He was received up to glory. Do you believe that He resurrected from the grave? Or do you believe that was just made up so no one could actually resurrect from the grave? Still a mystery to you. If you look to Him, He'll clear it up for you. And He'll give you faith to believe that He resurrected to reveal to us that He was God. And He is the Savior of all mankind. Amen. Received up to glory. That's where He's at now. A mystery to some. The tomb is empty. I've been there. It's empty. Yeah. Where is He? Lastly, Romans in chapter 8. We'll close here. This is the mysteries made clear. Mysteries made clear. Through Jesus Christ. Romans in chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. We have history. It's recorded in history. But there was a day and time when Jesus Christ, a man called Jesus Christ, was crucified. That's reality. Historians do not disbelieve that. That's recorded in Josephus. That's recorded in the history books. And he made a stir amongst the Jews to where they actually turned him over to the Romans so that he would be put to death, where the Bible said that he would be hung on a tree. If he was stoned, it would not have been fulfillment of prophecy, because the prophecy said he would be hung on a tree. He had to be turned over to the Romans for crucifixion, for the prophecies to be true. So Christ that he died. It is Christ that he died. Yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen. Received up to glory. Yes, he's in a real place. It's a place that is very glorious. It's a heavenly kingdom, superior than anything that you can find in this physical kingdom. Amen. And he's there once again, reunited with God the Father, and he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, ever living. That's what he's doing throughout this entire church age, to make intercession for all of those who will but trust in him. Amen. Put your faith in him. Ask him to come into your heart and to save you. Whew. Don't let these things be mystery. It's one of the most important things that we can understand. Great. It's a great understanding. Christ has revealed to us these things, that when you have faith to believe them, will change your life. It'll do something for you that nothing else can do. Is it still a mystery to you? Or have you looked at Jesus Christ and had these mysteries cleared up? If I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. This Christmas season, the world celebrates Christmas, but they X out Christ. Churches even use it, but are they truly acknowledging the reality of God becoming man, virgin born, to reveal truth that'll change our lives? If you have never received Jesus Christ, then you still are blinded. Trust him today. Don't put it off any longer. Father, we bow before you and we love you. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for these mysteries being made clear to us. Most important thing for us to understand. And I pray that we would not leave here without this understanding. I pray that you'd work in our midst and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.